Ephesians chapter 2, we want to just set before you a few thoughts from verses 14 through to 18. But in verse 14, we read, "For he," that's speaking of Christ, "is our peace, who hath made both one, and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us." During World War II, a group of American soldiers were firing at a farmhouse occupied by Germans in Europe. As they were firing and opening fire on this barn, there was suddenly a family that ran from that barn for their lives. The Germans then descended upon this group of Americans as they were firing at this farmhouse, and they began to fire at each other across an open field. As they were shooting at each other, I'm sure you can imagine the bullets were flying everywhere. But all of a sudden, a little 2 or 3 year old girl starting to run across this field. Instantly, an American soldier, he saw the child running and screaming, and he shouted, "Cease fire!" And those on the German side did the same. And suddenly, not only during World War I, but also during World War II, for a few moments at least, there were two warring parties who were at peace with each other whilst the little girl crossed the field. Again tonight in the programme brought to you by the young people, you've thought about the peace that was enjoyed between warring parties through the Christmas truce at World War I. And really in Ephesians chapter 2, in many ways in verses 14 through to 18, you have the message of a Christmas truce. You have a message simply of the peace of Jesus Christ enjoyed by two warring parties. In the opening 12 verses, Paul is writing to this church, the church at Ephesus, and he reminds them of their previous lost condition. He alludes to this in the verses that precede verse 14. In verse 12, for example, he speaks about being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. And he stated simply that before they came to Jesus Christ, before they knew the peace of Christ, it was as if they were aliens. It was as if they were strangers from the family and fold of God. It was as if they were from another country. However, he then speaks in the verse 13, that ye who were sometimes far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. And he showed that yes, whilst they were strangers, and yes, whilst they were aliens, spiritually speaking, yet now, through the blood of Jesus Christ, they had been brought nigh. They had been brought near, as it really means. And it was through the sacrifice of Christ alone that they then, Paul then states to this church, he is our peace. He was saying it's only through Jesus Christ that we who are at war with him, we who are at enmity with him, that we can then know true peace with God. You see, the path to a truly peaceful Christmas is to have the one who is our peace. It is to be in Jesus Christ, the ultimate Christmas truce. And yes, tonight, you have heard about the Christmas truce of 1914. That time when, for really one day, but the events building up to that, a few months perhaps, or at least weeks, you have heard of two warring parties who were at peace for a time before in that war. And yet I wonder tonight, spiritually speaking, are you at peace with God? Can you say you who were an alien, you who were at enmity with God in your sin, yet now you have the one who in verse 14 has said, who is our peace? Are you resting in Christ? Are you truly at peace with God? Because it's only if you're resting in Christ that you then can know true peace with God this Christmas. And as I have said, have a truly peaceful Christmas. And just for a few moments, I want to think about these verses under the theme of Christ, our Christmas truce. I want you to notice firstly here the provision of peace. The provision of peace. Verse 14 we read, "For he is our peace, who hath made both one, and has broken down the middle wall of partition between us. Remember and always keep in mind, context, context, context. Why is Paul here writing in verse 14 about Christ being our peace? Well, remember, he's writing to a church, the church at Ephesus, located somewhere in modern-day Turkey today. And there in that church, there were essentially two groups or two types of people, and they were at war with each other. On the one hand, you had the Jews, who had just come to Christ, but they were still holding on to their religious traditions. And then on the other hand, you had the Gentiles. And so there were two parties who were at variance, at war with each other. But Paul, he showed them that the variance that they had with each other, or the animosity that existed between each other, he described this. He described their condition in verse 14 as essentially like having a wall between them. He reads, "He hath made both one, and hath broken down the middle wall of partition betwixt us." And really he describes their war, their animosity between each other, the Jews and Gentiles, these two different types of races, and they're at war with each other. And he's essentially saying, it's like there's a big wall between you. It's as if there is a large wall separating each other. However, he states there that the middle wall of partition, it was broken down. Hath broken down the middle wall of partition betwixt us. The phrase broken down, it means simply to destroy or to break into pieces. And in referring to this wall that existed between the Jews and the Gentiles, he is actually alluding to really a wall that physically existed in the Jewish temple in Bible times. You see, as you were to enter into the temple, there would be a large wall between where all could go in, the Gentiles, and then there would be a wall, and that would separate the Jews and the Gentiles. The Jews, they could go further into the courts of the temple. However, the Gentiles, they could only go a certain distance. In actual fact, archaeological digs uncovered a sign that existed on the Jewish side of the wall, and the sign read this: "No foreigner may enter within the barricade which surrounds the sanctuary and enclosure. Anyone who is caught doing so will have himself to blame for his ensuing death." And so here he was saying, and he was really alluding to this wall that separated the Jews and the Gentiles in the temple, and he was saying it was as if there was a wall that existed between the Jews and Gentiles in this church. But notice what he goes on to say, because he said here, "Who hath made both one. For he is our peace who hath made both one." Verse 14. And he's essentially saying this, that in Jesus Christ, this wall, this spiritual wall that existed between them, they were now Christians. They were now at peace with God. And so he's saying this, because you have the peace of Jesus Christ, this wall has been abolished. This wall, it has been broken down. This wall, it is now shattered. It's in pieces. And so now, because they were at peace with Jesus Christ, they could now be at peace with each other. You see, whilst in life there are many sects and races, in eternity there are only really two. Those who are inside Jesus Christ and those who are outside of Him. That's a wonderful thing about the Church of Christ. And tonight you need to remember that it doesn't matter what race that you really belong to, or it doesn't matter your previous belief system, it doesn't matter where you are in this world, yet we've been made one. Made one. And so, in the great confines of the people of God, there are all different and all types of people, but there's really only one. Really only one. We are all one in Jesus Christ. We have peace with God through the one who is our peace. And so therefore, we should live in harmony with each other. We should live in harmony with all who are within the Church of Jesus Christ, because we are all one in Jesus Christ. Indeed, in Colossians 3 verse 11, we read, "Whether there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond or free, but Christ is all and in all. And Paul was writing to the church at Colossae, which was just down the road from the church at Ephesus. And he was saying, it doesn't matter. Doesn't matter whether you're bond or free. Doesn't matter whether you're a slave or whether you're a free man. Doesn't matter what nationality you are, whether you're a Greek or a Jew, circumcision or uncircumcision. He says, but Christ is all and in all. In other words, you're all one in Jesus Christ. Again, in Galatians 3, verse 28, we read, there is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither bond nor free. There is neither male nor female. You're all one in Christ Jesus. Again, reminding and emphasizing exactly the same truth. You see, before Christ, the church is not divided. The church is united. We are all one in Jesus Christ. And oh yes, society. Society, it erects walls and it erects barriers between different races and different colours and different creeds. Oh, there are those walls that are erected. But in Jesus Christ, remember that if you belong to Him, we're all one. We're all one. We all have, as Jude calls it, the common salvation. Tonight you're at one. You are all one in Jesus Christ. And that's how you can know true peace. True peace with your fellow believer. That's why there's a wonderful bond that exists in the church of Jesus Christ. Because we're all one. We all believe the same thing. We all are resting in the finished work of Jesus Christ. And so, there is a wonderful harmony that should exist. So there is the provision of peace. I want you to see secondly here, the procurement of peace. The procurement of peace. Verses 15 and 16 we read, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances. For to make in himself of twain one new man, so making peace, that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby. Verse 14 sets forth Christ as our peace. And he also is said to be one who has broken down the middle wall of partition. How does he do this? Maybe as Paul was writing these words, and if the believers there who had this letter read to them, remember that? Whenever these letters were written to churches, there would have been an individual who would have got up in the church at Ephesus and would have read the contents of this book to that literal church. And so perhaps if you would have stopped at verse 14, Christ who is our peace, well, the question maybe would have been asked in a Jew or in a Gentile's mind, both sitting in the same church setting. How is this peace brought about? How does Christ make this peace? How can he secure this peace? Well, verse 15, it speaks of enmity, having abolished in his flesh the enmity. And that means hostility. And as I've already said, there were Jews and Gentiles in that church. And they were at hostility. They were at enmity with each other. There was great hostility that existed between these two parties in the church of Jesus Christ. And the reason is even given as to why this enmity existed. Verse 15, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances. The Jews, you see, they were hostile to the Gentiles. Because the Jews, although they were now in Jesus Christ, they were saying to these Gentiles that you still have to hold on to the old sacrificial and ceremonial system. Remember that the Jews had strict dietary requirements. They had strict dress codes. They had strict laws that even governed the ruling and jurisdiction of Israel. And so there was this enmity and hostility that existed between the Jews, who still wanted to hold on to this, and the Gentiles, who did not. And Paul said, this enmity, in verse 15, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, Christ, he's saying, this is how that this peace is effected. Christ has abolished this enmity. And the word abolished there, it means to render inactive or to deprive of force or power. And he was stating that this enmity, this hostility that existed between them, well, it's lost its power, it's lost its force. There's no need to be at enmity with each other, or at hostility, or at variances with each other. Why? Because, as is already said, they are all one in Christ in verse 14. And in verse 16, he develops this. He reconciled both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby. In other words, he was saying this. It doesn't really matter what you were like before, whether you were a religious Jew or a pagan Gentile. You were both at enmity with God. That's what he's saying in verse 16. You were both enemies of God. You were both, oh yes, that the Jews, they had privileges, but you were still an enemy of God in your sinful condition. But they've now been reconciled. They have now been, as he puts it in verse 13, brought nigh by the blood of Jesus Christ. And so now they are both at peace with God. And so they are now both at peace with God. They should now then be at peace with each other. You see, Christ takes man's hostility. And through his death, he provides harmony. He provides harmony with God through Jesus Christ. And tonight, that is how you know true peace. Because in your natural condition, you are an enemy of God. Let's remember that. Romans 8, and I believe it's verse 7 from memory. It states there that the carnal mind, it is at enmity with God. The carnal mind is at enmity with God. And if you have a worldly mind, not governed by Scripture, and not governed by the Spirit of God, that's the thought there in Romans 8. If you haven't the Spirit of God within you, then you are an enemy of God. Your sin does this. It estranges you from God, and it makes you his enemy. But it is through Christ. And that's what he's speaking of here. Through him bearing our sins on his body, it is through Jesus Christ that that enmity, it is removed, and you can now be at peace with God through Jesus Christ. Paul states in 1 Peter chapter 2, Peter states in 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 24 and 25, who his own self bare our sins in his own body in the tree, that we being dead to sin should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. For ye were as sheep going astray, but are now returned unto the shepherd and bishop of your souls. And Paul, he described man as a sheep going astray. But now they are returned to the shepherd and bishop, the overseer of their souls. And how is this affected? Well, it is through, as he states there, by who his own self bare our sins and his own body on the tree, that we being dead to sins should live unto righteousness. It's through Christ bearing our sins on his own body on the tree. That is how we, who were like sheep, who were going astray, doing our own thing, going our own way, that is how we are returned. Through Jesus Christ, bearing our sin. You see, Christ was not merely a negotiator with God. Rather, he is a mediator and peacemaker with God. He made peace with God for you. And this Christmas, let's remember the one who is our peace. And tonight, if you don't know peace, if you're still a stranger to God, then it's only Jesus Christ who can bring you nigh to the Lord, who can bridge that gap that exists between you and God. In 1961, the East Germans built a wall around West Berlin in Germany. This wall, it cut West Berlin off from the rest of Germany. Really what happened there was that families, close friends, they were separated for a generation by this wall. East German guards, they patrolled the wall, and they are said to have killed hundreds, if not thousands, of individuals who tried to cross that wall to freedom in the West. However, in November 9th, 1989, the East German government announced that East Berliners could pass through the wall to visit people in the West. And this actually resulted in such an atmosphere between the East and West again that before long the governments, they came together and they dismantled the wall completely. And this led to the reunification of Germany in 1990. The amazing thing about it is this, is that as the wall crumbled, and then the individuals from the East and West, they actually met in the very place where the wall previously existed. And there they were brought together. There they were made nigh. There they were reconciled to each other. And that's what Christ does. He brings we, a sinful man, and God, a holy and righteous God, He brings us together. He brings us together through His peace on the cross. The provision of peace, the procurement of peace. Lastly and quickly, I want you to think about the permission from peace. The permission from peace. Verses 17 and 18. We read, "And came and preached peace to you which were afar off, and to them that were nigh. For through him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father." The theme really in verses 14 through 18 is the theme of peace. In verses 14, 15 and 17, the word peace is spoken of there. And it speaks here of peace between people, or of harmony, or of unity, or of concord between people. And really what Paul was now saying was this. He was saying here was a people, and they were at peace with God now. And then because of the fact they were at peace with God, and all being well, at peace with each other now, they had a wonderful permission that was given to them. And in verse 18 there, he speaks about having access to the Father. The word access, it simply means to bring to or to bring towards. And it actually, in the original text, it speaks of an individual or a court official who gave a person access to a monarch. What he was saying is this. You should now be, and speaking to this church at Ephesus, you should now be at peace one with the other through the peace of Jesus Christ. And because of that peace that you have with Jesus Christ, you can come before the great monarch. You can come before the King of Kings. You now have permission. You now have access. You now have entrance into the very presence of the King of Kings. You see, without Christ, God is inaccessible. But through Christ, God is accessible. You're given permission to access Him. And remember that. Remember that if you're a child of God, then it is through the Christmas truce, through Christ, who is our peace, that you can now have access before the Lord this evening. You can now stand before Him with boldness. And on that great judgment day, you can stand before Him. You have access to Him. And even now, in time, you have access to His throne room through the means of prayer. You can access God the Father. Oh, in your sin, you could not access Him. You could not seek Him. You could not enter into His presence. But when you're in Jesus Christ, in the Christmas truce, then you have access. Then you can seek the Lord, the One who is peace. Was this not the message that the angels brought to the shepherds? God's peace being brought to men by Christ. Luke 2:14, glory to God in the highest. And on earth, peace. Goodwill toward men. In Romans 5 verses 1 and 2, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Again, Paul states it there very plainly in Romans 5. Because we're at peace with God, we then have access to Him. Charles Wesley, in his Christmas hymn, "Hark the Herald Angels Sing," he wrote, "Hark the Herald Angels Sing, glory to the newborn King, peace on earth and mercy mild, God and sinners reconciled." That is the message of Christmas, in a nutshell. God and sinners reconciled. Tonight I trust that you're at peace with God. Tonight I trust that you've placed your faith and trust in the One who is the Christmas truce. The One who is, it is stated of in verse 14, "For He is our peace." May the Lord bless His word to your hearts and lives this evening.